All right, ladies and gentlemen, how's everyone feeling? Yeah! Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. And now, please welcome the creator and host of the show, Story Smash, Christine Blackburn. Yeah!
So happy to be here. Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. We're going to have a fabulous evening. And let me now introduce to you the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel, including a new topic, pandemic. And when the contestant comes up, they'll spin the wheel, whatever they land on. In the first round, they'll tell a true one-minute story. There's also a space that says free. If the contestant lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel. There's also three topics that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, I know it's very exciting. That's when you guys come into play and you can shout out your very favorite storytelling topics and one of our expert judges will choose it to be the contestant's topic. All right, you guys, are you ready to play this game? Yeah. All right, let's bring on your very first expert judge. All right, you guys, this guy is a novelist and a screenwriter. He's an artist and a producer. He's best known for his work on Seinfeld as both a writer and co-executive producer. He coined the phrase yada yada and double dipping and sponge-worthy. And Peter was also the creator and host of The Narrow World of Sports, which was my very favorite show. I love that show. He is a freelance writer for the New York Times, GQ, and Esquire. And if that isn't enough, he recently purchased his... He recently wrote his second novel. I hold it here in my left hand. It's called Hashtag Me As Well. Please welcome the very talented Peter Melman! All right, you guys. This next judge, she was Barbara Jean on the Reba TV show, Bonnie Wheeler on Baby Daddy, and you can catch her on Young Sheldon or playing 25 words or less. She was voted People Magazine's sexiest subscriber over 40, and she has a new podcast. She shares with her friend Reba McEntire. It is called Living and Learning. Please welcome the fabulous Melissa Peterman! You guys, this third and final judge coming to the stage, he's a writer who wrote on the Emmy Award-winning Modern Family for its entire 11-year run, and he's in production now with comedian and actor Kevin Nealon on his new show, Hiking with Kevin, and he's also the author of this book I hold in my left hand. It is called He Started It, My Twitter War with Donald Trump. All right, you guys, he's here right now. He's got 5 Emmy Awards, and he'll never let us forget it. Danny Zucker! I know, this is an exciting night. Welcome back, Peter. You haven't been here since before the pandemic.
That is correct. I've been here, but you know, not with you.
Not with me. Well, now you are. Melissa and Danny, you were both here last month. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome, Super Spreaders.
Woo! Woo! you guys, tonight we've got farm produce in action. These are zucchinis that I personally grew in my own garden. And you each get to take one home and think of me. Think of me when you do something, whatever you do with that zucchini. And guess what? Whoever wins tonight, they get one too. How about that? There's another one. Oh
my. These are amazing.
It's an emoji
come to life. I'm going to send this to somebody.
Is your Emmy inside there? Are you going to crack it open and show us?
I think this is false advertising if I send this, frankly.
All right, you guys, we're going to play 3 rounds of the game tonight, like I said. And you guys, you are judging, as you know, on the story itself, the ability to stay on the topic, and, of course, the time. Yeah. Because the contestants don't want to go over their time. You're responsible for your own clock. Because, Willie, tell them what happens if they hit 1 minute in the first round.
Tase them.
We got a fun little sound effect right here. Yeah, after the tasing, we got this great little sound effect.
How come
Boom.
Why do Stone Temple Pilots come on with every sound effect?
It's in my rider.
In the second round, we're going to do a true two-minute story. And again, don't go over your time, because if you do, you might hear STP. What were you going to hear? What are you going to hear, Willie?
I hope it's not it.
He's back there really breaking glasses.
It's really amazing.
It's extraordinary.
I'm telling you. And then in the third round, you guys are going to pick two of the contestants to go on to that third round for a true three-minute story.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's so much to think about, Christine.
Melissa, what do you think would be the hardest to tell, a 1, 2, or 3 minute story?
Well, I don't know. I feel like we're slowly becoming, we can't talk for very long, pay attention very long. I think it's going to be hard to tell a 3 minute story because we want it short, we want it fast,
yeah.
240 characters. so, yeah, I think it's going to be harder to go longer. That's what I've learned in my life.
Peter?
It's definitely going to be harder to listen longer.
Danny, I'm glad you're back. Thanks for coming back.
My God, it's so my pleasure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think we're just going to start.
Why don't we?
Why don't we? We've got three contestants' names right here in the Story Smash Can of Truth. And there's another piece of paper in here that says audience.
Oh, holy shit.
Danny, tell them what it means.
It means somebody put their name in that can. They're going to come up and they're going to tell a story off of this wheel.
Yeah.
So somebody
out here is so playing, great. And we look forward to hearing their stories as well.
And they're almost always terrible.
Yeah, well.
No,
they're amazing.
They're amazing.
That last time was amazing.
Oh, that's true. That person was great.
He crushed it.
Yeah. All right, I've got a name in my hand right now. So let's start the music. Willie! The first contestant coming to the stage, you guys, he's originally from Dallas, Texas.
Oh.
And he pretends to be a comedian, but really, he's an actor. And he does theater and film and television, and he was recently nominated for Best Actor for his role as the president in the film Concession. Yeah, and then that movie also won the Best Film at the Las Vegas International Film Festival, and he's here right now. Put your hands together for Charlie Daniels! Woo! All right, you guys, let's tell him what to do.
Yes. Spin that
wheel.
Charlie's a little bit in the dark over here. Willie, any more light on this side? Oh, Charlie Daniel landed on free. He landed on free.
So oh, my God.
So he can choose any of the topics on the wheel.
Oh, okay.
All right. I've never gotten free before as many times as I've done this show. I'm going to pick... Not mom. I'm going to pick...
Just because I want that. Your mother!
No. I'm going to pick... Hollyweird. Okay. Hollyweird. Okay, time started. My weirdest night in Hollywood ever was a date that I had. We were driving along. I forget the street, but we were right next to a graveyard. And we got in the weirdest fight on the weirdest night on the weirdest thing that's happened to me in Hollywood. We're driving next to a graveyard, and out of nowhere, we see over the dark street, and you could see the lights. Over the fence comes a shovel, and just out of nowhere, the shovel. And we looked at each other, and like, where the hell is this shovel coming from? And we got in a fight, and I slam on the brakes. We got in a fight over where this shovel could have come from because I was so sure that the shovel was from a grave digger. Who was like just working and was so pissed off about working on Saturday night, he just threw a shovel over the thing. And she was dead set that it was grave robbers that were caught in the middle of robbing a grave and just like, oh, you know, get rid of the shovel, you know. And so we fought, and she got out of the car, and I was so pissed, and she started hitting my car with a shovel.
Okay, now look at that. He landed exactly on a minute, but I didn't hear the last word. What did you say?
I said she was hitting my car with a shovel.
Ooh, I hate when that happens.
Weird.
Melissa Peterman.
First of all, I don't remember it like that at all, Charlie. I remember that you and I, we went to Red Robin. We had burgers and fries. I wanted to go to the cemetery to pay homage to my great aunt, Cheryl, and you didn't want to do it. I got upset, took a shovel, beat the shit out of your car, and you continued to call me for weeks after. Again, I
don't know how to quit you.
That's how I you can't quit me. I just remember it differently. What was the conclusion? I think it was grave robbers. Don't you think? Like, somebody working isn't going to get... I mean, he's not going to throw it over the fence.
I still think it was a digger. Grave digger. He was grave pissed. Digger. It was Saturday night. Why was that grave digger working on a Saturday? He was pissed. They made him dig the grave.
Because their union is so strong that they don't work on Saturday nights. You know what? I love the story. You kept the time perfectly, really.
Yeah, really.
You took us on a journey. We had a brush with death, but not death. So I'm going to give you 14 out of 15 on that one.
With no points.
There are no points in this game, but...
I'm going to stick with that and give him 14.
Danny Zucker.
I mean, he was working the graveyard shift. No, that's amazing. You know, being in relationships, I'm recently, I'm going through a divorce right now, but it's those little things that you fight about and they get out of control. My wife would say she wished I were a better listener and like I wished she were Asian. And I think like those are the things that become really hard and irreconcilable. Ultimately, but yours was better. I hope you and were you able to heal your relationship after all?
I never saw her again.
It's a happy story all around.
Until tonight,
I'm going to give 320 points.
Okay. Yes.
All right, Peter Melman.
You know, I really like a story with a good beginning, middle, and another middle.
I think you're right.
fascinating story, and I actually went on a date. I don't know to the Holly. You know that where they have the movies in the cemetery.
Yeah, cemetery. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I went with this woman. She was really beautiful, and I only mentioned that because looks are everything.
So important.
For a one-minute story, it was very, you got started right away with this graveyard, and that got it off to a fast start. So I'm going to give you 35,000 points.
Okay, 35,000 points. All right, Charlie Daniel, let him hear it, you guys. Charlie
Daniel. Good
job,
Charlie.
Wow. That was
very
great.
Good.
Yeah, I really liked that.
Did you hear that graveyard shift joke earlier?
That was funny, Daniel.
I loved it.
It was just really in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just the way my brain works.
Yeah. You're just faster than the rest of us.
Yep.
That was like wordplay, wasn't it?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
All right, you guys.
I have a Golden Globe. It doesn't even matter. And I don't even know why I bring it up. Anyway, go on.
Holy cow, I just pulled the audience member's name. Oh! Audience. All right, so Jim Coughlin, he helps me out every single month. He's going to be coming up to give Danny Zucker the can, and Danny Zucker is going to name the person coming up to tell a true one-minute story.
That person is Cindy. What do you think that is?
Stob.
Come on up, Cindy Stob. Come on up. You have the chance to win this zucchini. You got your zucchini bread. You got your zucchini muffins. You got your zucchini salad. All right, you guys. There she is, Cindy Staub. Thank you for playing. We're happy you're here. Let's tell her what to do, guys.
Spin that wheel. Spin it.
You have to spin it, Cindy. Yes, you do.
Okay. Spin that wheel. Okay, we're not off to a great start. I have... No, it's fine.
She landed on audience. No, she's landed on audience. And you know what that means. Step right over there by the microphone, Cindy. No, no, that's the microphone. This is the clock. All right, this is the chance for you guys to yell out your favorite storytelling topics, and then Cindy's going to tell us a story about it. What do you want to hear?
Family.
Family.
Surgery.
Ooh,
that's
pets.
Good.
Pets. No, we got...
Brands of mayonnaise.
Charminia. Charminia. I can use Charminia.
Charminia.
What does it mean?
You don't know what Charminia is?
No, I don't.
Everybody knows what Charminia is.
Oh, my God. Every week, it's another Charminia story.
Charminia story.
So you go to the gynecologist.
Okay, now wait a second.
Wait, I'm ready. No, give it to me.
Is that what you want to hear about?
I want to hear about Charminia.
Yeah, I do, too, because I don't even know what's happening. I'm going to go over here now.
Hit it. We're about to find out. We got a minute to find out what about Charminia.
All right. Who wants to know what Charminia is?
We do.
Okay.
And begin.
Really?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right. Charminia, you go to the gynecologist's office. You're there to get your pap. What's the first thing he wants? He wants you to get a urologist. Go pee in the cup, right? So you go pee in the cup, and you wipe, and you're like, oh, my God. Okay, I'm done. I'm hurrying. I got to get back in there, and you're on the table, the doctor, there is him and his assistant, and they're like, oh, there's something white there. Oh, Amy, we have a definite case of Charminosis. It is Charminosis. And it's the residue. Okay, that's it. That's all I got, guys.
Bravo.
All right. 52 seconds. 52
yeah,
seconds.
I mean,
I still don't know what it means.
No.
Andy Zucker.
I mean, stay here,
Cindy.
My guess is that you had failed to get all of the toilet paper out of your nether regions.
I did not get it all out.
I can, you know.
And they called it Charminosis.
Oh, it went from Charminia to Charminosis. I love it. Look. I'm going to just riff off of Peter here. A lot of people are very constrained with this, the beginning, middle, and end of a story, or that a story should have a point, a joke should have a punchline, a setup should have anything. And I just think it was so freeing that your story had none of that.
None of it.
It took courage in a way that I haven't... No, and that's what I...
had no knowledge that
that's what... It was very... It was very room, you know. It was very the disaster artist. It had that vibe. I loved everything about it. I can't wait to see your 2-minute story. Okay. 9 million points.
Thank you.
Melissa Peterman,
Cindy, do you have any other doctor office stories? Because I feel like this is a series.
I do. This is OB/GYN.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go on to the urologist, the gynecologist, the OB/GYN, whatever.
The OB/GYN?
I have so many stories.
The OB/GYN and the urinologist. Yeah. I loved all about it.
Yeah, me too.
I loved hearing all about it. And I want to know what office
whatever
you go to.
Want.
I want to hear it all. It's a good thing you didn't have sandpaperitis. That would have hurt.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah, that would have really hurt.
Yeah, Charminosis is easy. I mean, they can.
And where an office do you go to that they have Charmin? My guy has that awful Scott tissue. So
no, I know. And I love Scott tissue. You know, it lasts forever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you.
I feel like you've got so many opinions on all sorts of things like that. And I want to hear it all, and I can't wait. Anyway, Cindy, you weren't a pro. You weren't ready for it. And you came in.
Yeah.
And again, like Danny said, it was all over the place. And I was long for the journey. It was sort of like a roller coaster ride, and I forgot to put my lap bar down. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yes. So well done. I'm giving you 18 rolls of Charmin.
Yes.
Woo! Woo! Peter Melman.
Come on, Peter. Give it to me.
I wasn't really listening because
except for you, Peter.
Because you know, I'd like there to be like just one area of the planet that I don't have to know about. You know, like I don't really know what's going on in a gynecologist's office, and can I just be ignorant about one thing? Do I have to know fucking everything?
No, not the vagina.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the vagina.
You know, for an ad lib and a terrible subject, you did pretty good.
Thank you.
All right, let her hear it. Cindy Stroud. Nice for playing. Stout. 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 Can you spell it?
S-T-O-U-T.
Oh, Stout.
Stout. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know it either.
All right, Cindy Stout, let her hear it.
Good job.
Okay, get out of here, man. Get out of here.
That's right. Get off the stage.
Get out of here, man. You got to go. All right, you guys, coming up right now to tell a true one-minute story. Okay, this is great. All right, you guys, this comedian, she's an artist and a comedian, and she plays clubs all over town. I do a lot of open mics with her. We have a blast. Her name is Abby Schachner.
Oh, yeah, Abby! Abby!
Woo! All right, you guys, let's tell Abby what to do. Spin
that
spin
wheel.
The wheel, Abby.
Well, that's a good spin.
Oh, that was a strong spin from the core.
Thank you. Happening. Yeah!
Holly Weird!
Can't wait.
I can't wait. Oh, do I get to just start whenever I want?
Yeah.
Oh, well, 5 or 6 years ago, they found a head in Griffith Park. And Maya Rudolph's dog apparently found it, and I said to myself, I'm going to know that head. It was between 40 and 70 years old. They said it on the news, and I went for a walk in my neighborhood, and the first guy that I saw that I thought whose head it was, he was still alive. He was like an Armenian Humphrey Bogart, and he would hit on me, and he was always depressed and sad. So I'm like, he's living. It's not him. A couple days pass. I let it go. I'm watching Shark Tank, like 2 days later, and the head pops up. I knew the head! His name was Hervé. He lived on the other side of the Sikh temple. I lived on one side. He lived on the other in Los Feliz. And I called my friend that I knew Hervé, who wasn't surprised that Hervé was killed and had his head chopped off by an axe by his lover. And I went to yoga class that night and told everybody that the head that they found, he was not a perfect man, even though years later on Dateline, they said he was.
Wow. Abby Schachner, it's a perfect 1 minute and 1 second. Great story. Peter Melman.
Unbelievably great story. Not quite making the connection with Halloween, but...
No, Holly Weird.
Oh, Holly Weird.
Like weird things that happen in Hollywood, right on target.
My mistake, fantastic story. God, you know, I didn't think those things actually happened except on, like, Law and Order. They find heads, you know, like if two people are having a catch, you know. Like, one, the ball is overthrown, boom, there's a head.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that these things really happen, and you've totally enlightened me. I don't know. I can't say enough. Although I can say enough. I've said more than enough.
Well, listen, Peterman.
Well, first off, the opening line is that's how you get people, right, Danny? Yeah. I mean, I don't have
Amazing.
Any Emmys, but you know you got to start off strong.
Yeah, right? You stop reading after the first page, you know, and that was like boom.
It was boom. You had us in right at the beginning. Quick question. Was somebody on Shark Tank taught? How did the head pop up on Shark Tank? Was it like, are you tired of not being able to find your head? I mean, what, how, like, was it a product placement? What? No.
The news.
Abby, go for the...
Oh, the news. They put his face up in a little square during Shark Tank. They had discovered whose head it was.
Oh, wow.
He had a lot of facial work done. That's why they thought he looked between 40 and 70.
And what was it? What was it? Did you always know that you were going to be the person, someday I'm going to... someone's going to be decapitated and I'm going to know them. Have you always known that about yourself?
No, it was just a universal connection.
Well, I love the story. Again, I agree with Peter. It was well done, and you took us on a journey. I can't wait to see the movie version. I've already titled it called Headless Hervé. You're phenomenal. I loved it. Every minute of it. 17,000 heads.
Yeah. Danny Zucker.
That's amazing. I think another working title, and we can argue about this later. But I was thinking how to get a head in Hollywood.
Oh. You know what?
So, you know, but
just because you didn't get enough love from your whole graveyard shift, I'm going to give it to you there.
Thank
you. All right, yes.
Thank you. That was a masterclass in storytelling. I have nothing snarky to say to you. It was just like you, that's a story to beat right now, in my opinion. Yeah. You killed it.
Abby Schachner, let her hear it, you guys. All right, you guys, there's one more name in the Story Smash Can of Truth for the first round. And this person coming up to the stage, Let's see. Well, I know who she is. I don't even have to look at this. She's a comedian. She's a regular at Flappers Comedy Club. Oh, wow. She does a lot of comedy. She's out and about all the time. Please put your hands together for the very talented Erin Moore. Erin!
How's it doing, Erin?
Erin!
Spin that wheel. I think that's an impressive spin.
Well done. Well
so far, my favorite spin.
Oh, pandemic. Interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. This was May 17th, May 16th. Lockdown was the 17th. Coming out of Flappers. After an open mic, had a few drinks with some comedians, hanging out, chatting away. Up pulls this pickup, and this guy's staring at me, and I look at him, and he nods, and he says, "You got real nice legs." And I'm a trans woman, by the way. I'm kind of new to a lot of things, catcall included. But I knew enough. Thank you. I knew enough to just glare, even though I was kind of excited inside. This was the day before the pandemic, right? And so I just glared. Had I known what was coming the next day, I would have used my legs to run around.
Hold on,
I need to know the punchline. I don't care.
Yeah, well, we need to hear
I want
this.
To use my legs to run around.
Run him down and wrap around him twice.
That's yeah, fantastic.
Erin Moore, let her hear it.
Yes, well done.
Danny Zucker.
I so relate to this story. I just wanted to say this. I moved out here with three guys, two I went to Syracuse with and one I knew in New York. And like all three of them, and this is like 1988, all three of them came out of the closet, unaware to me, and were enjoying each other's company. And at no point was I ever asked to join in. It was all done behind my back. And to this day, I have beef with all three of them. Like, because I would have respectfully declined, but it would have been nice to know that I was attractive. So I take that as a win for you. So congratulations.
Peter Melman.
It's funny because the only thing I accomplished during the entire pandemic was I started writing a screenplay about a it was going to be a non-binary rom-com called They's All That. And that's the only thing I got done. But you know, I do love hearing stories about like the people's like the days that when the pandemic started.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually fascinated by your story and like what you would have done, because you probably really did think about, like, even though you made a joke of it, you probably like had some thoughts like, oh my god, now I got a year of being home.
And you do have great legs.
Yeah, thank you. So yes, excellent job.
All right, Melissa Peterman.
I was just gonna say that too. You've got great legs. Nice wheels, and they are very, very gorgeous. I like this story because I think it's relatable to all of us who went through this. It also just sort of reminds me, I've been married for like 22 years, and the pandemic's is sort of like being married for 22 years. You're like, think of all the sex I could have had before that happened. I agree. I mean, I think if we all had a time machine and could go back to those days before, we all would have done a lot of things that, you know, we would have had very bad judgment in a good way. Like, just go for it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping, this is what I hope for you, Erin, is that this just gives you the go-ahead to wrap your legs around twice over anyone you feel like. You know, like, do it. Get at it. Right now, we've got to make up for lost time. There's a lot of guys in pickup trucks that are waiting for it, Erin. So, and I can't do them all. So, anyway, I loved your story, and like you, Peter, I'm fascinated by that, because I think we all thought in those beginnings, like, it's going to be like 2 weeks. I'm going to get to hang out with my kids and whatever. It's going to be great. But well done. I love the story. Can't wait to hear more.
Erin Moore. Let her hear it. Erin Moore. Thank you. All right. Now, this is very exciting, because all four names go back into the Story Smash Can of Truth, and they'll be scrambled.
Oh, I
as such. And you guys, how are you feeling about the first round? Do you have another drink order in you? Do you want to order anything?
I think
Brian
needs another drink.
Oh, you know what? I'll do another tequila.
All right. Okay. Willie, how you doing in the back?
He doesn't get to drink.
Willie's good. I know he doesn't get to drink, Brian. I'm just checking on the sound guy.
Oh, here's the audience.
How are you? Okay, great. I'll take that. All right. So now they're all in the can. Oh, yeah. Okay, no, actually, it says audience, so I'll hold that. Okay, Peter, you need anything to drink? Melissa?
I'm good for now.
All right. So, hey, look, I think it's time to start the second round. Woo. As you guys know, it's double the fun.
2 minutes.
The story's 2 minutes. So, I mean, my gosh, how could we lose? I'm very excited. My hand goes back into the story smash can of truth, and I pull out the name for
very
the
excited
contestant of the first round. Here we go. Second round, Aaron Moore.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Twofer. Get it up.
All right, you guys, let's tell her what to do.
Spin that. Wheel.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh.
School days.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. I was a rotten kid. I was a rotten kid. I'll blame it on being transgender, but I think I was just rotten. This is a drug story. I was teens, hung out with the wrong crowd, one could say. And we went out, we did some psychedelics, LSD. Had a very good time. I came home and I was still tripping. This was probably, I don't know, 5-6 hours. You know, I got a couple more hours to go on this ride. So my mom was sitting there waiting for me, and she says, "Aaron," my name was still Aaron. "Aaron, we need to talk." I'm like, "Oh shit, okay." The carpet's breathing, and we sit down. And this is serious. I know she's got a serious tone in her voice. I know this is going to be a serious talk. And she says, "You know, I was talking with some friends today, and I found out about your friend Brian." Brian. Now, I'd been hanging out with Brian earlier that night with the LSD. And she said, "You know, I found out he's a drug dealer." And I said, "Oh, Mom, that's not fucking true." And I never swear in front of my mom. But she goes, "Yeah, no, I heard he deals drugs." And then I could tell her, honestly, he does not deal drugs because he gave me the LSD for free.
Aaron Moore. Ooh. Is that it? All right, Aaron Moore, stay right here. Okay. 1:52, almost 2 minutes. She had a little bit of breathing room. Can you see the clock?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, just yeah, making yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Melissa Peterman.
How old, what grade was this?
I was ninth, really a ninth, freshman
oh,
in high
God.
School.
My son's in 10th. I should get home and find out what he's doing because there's a kid named Brian at our house right now. For real. I'm terrified. So ninth grade. So Brian, are you still in touch with Brian?
I saw him in college. He's not doing well.
He's not doing well. No, you would think with that trajectory, struggling. Dealing in ninth grade, that he would. The world is his oyster.
He's an entrepreneur.
And so, your mom. Did your mom think at any moment during this that you were high as a kite?
No. As far as I know, no. Never discussed it later. It hadn't discussed.
Never discussed this because to me, this shows some skills. Is that you were high as a kite, defending your friend. Yeah. And having to sit down with your mother while the carpet was breathing and perhaps her face was melting off and you didn't even flinch. So, Aaron, I loved it. I'm going to give you what's the highest score we've ever given?
I think 14.
I'm going to give you 18 because I loved it.
18. There's no points given tonight, but it's cool. All right, Peter Melman.
What city did this take place in?
Hudson, Ohio.
Oh, okay. I'm a
LSD capital of the world, Peter.
Yeah, you know, I'm a former journalist. I like who, what, where, when, why. You know, in the first paragraph. Any flashbacks?
Occasionally, trails.
Do we look normal to you now?
I think I'm fully recovered.
Okay.
As far as I know.
How many fingers am I holding up?
It's 16, at least.
You know, this is very educational, though, because, you know, like, it's good to hear that people in the Midwest are as screwed up as we are.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, I mean,
they really
I truly believe they're more screwed up. But and this is really good to hear. Okay, school days.
I like that you're looking at your notes. You have nothing written there.
I have nothing.
It's a little drawing of a house.
You know, I think it was a great story, especially considering that she had the last story.
Interesting.
Oh. You know,
this was like a day game after a night game.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think she pulled it off.
A matinee and a night show.
And because, you know, I have to reduce everything to sports.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 18. 18 tabs of acid.
There's no points. Danny Zucker.
Yeah, I will not give her credit for that. I'm sorry. No. I do give you credit for this, though, keeping it together. I'm going to tell you quickly. I took mushrooms in college my freshman year. First time I was a straight LA student in high school. I did one of those things where everybody took like a handful of mushrooms. They're all tripping. I'm like, I don't feel anything after an hour. They say, take more. I take more. And before it gets to here, the first match kicks in. And now I'm freaking out. I run away from my friends. We're playing in a graveyard shift. And I go back to my dorm. And I've never seen Starsky and Hutch before. I saw my first and only episode of Starsky and Hutch in repeats. In the episode, Starsky is shot up and is dying. And I start wailing, crying. I've been missing from my friends now for hours. They hear me screaming in my dorm, break down the door. Danny, what's wrong? Are you okay? And I just look up and say, Starsky's not going to make it. And so... that's just my story. I don't know why I told that whole story, but whenever I think about tripping, I think of that. I could not have kept it I couldn't keep it together for a fictional cop that was poorly acted, and you kept it together in ninth grade. So God bless you. Yeah. God bless America. You're amazing.
Aaron Moore. Let her hear it. Aaron Moore. Woo! Melissa, did you have any comments on Danny's story?
Wait, you were a handful of mushrooms? That was like the first choice of just, not even your first time, just a handful.
I saw everything in a handful, and they had done it before. Nothing happened to me in an hour, so I took another full, I tripped for, till about 15 minutes ago.
Well, I know, I'm going to get you your birthday. I'm going to get you the box set of Starsky and Hutch for your birthday. That's what's happening.
And the amazing thing is they were shiitake mushrooms. Yeah.
All right, you guys, coming up right now to tell a true two-minute story is Abby Schachner.
Abby!
Here she comes, folks. She's so excited. Here she comes. Tell her what to do, guys.
Spin that wheel. No pressure. You just had the perfect story for the first one.
Oh, I hope somebody loses her head in this one.
Maybe she'll tell the exact same story.
Ooh. Break up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I hope it's about Hervé. Oh, my God.
Well, breakup's the topic. Honestly, I feel like I grew up in a... I never saw my parents married. The first thing I remember of my parents is just fighting, and my father tried to kill my mother when I was 5 years old. He hired an undercover cop, well, a hitman who happened to be an undercover cop. He never went to jail for it because he paid the hitman after the fact, and at that time in Ohio, after the fact didn't count. But the reason why I'm saying that is because I had a lot of 70s divorce relationships. Like, most of my relationships with men, I played their dynamic out a lot. But I guess, I don't know about you with creative, like, breakups with people, but I met a guy one time at a store called Wacko. He came in with his girlfriend. I didn't know they were girlfriends. He was looking for something like a Hello Kitty, like, cookie jar, and it was missing a piece, and we developed a kind of a dynamic. And he came and visited me again, and he wasn't, like I said, honest about his girlfriend. We hung out one time outside of Eurustic Inn. We didn't go inside. I thought it was magical. We listened to, like, Come With Me. We listened to Willy Wonka, and we smoked weed and drank beer in the car, and it felt so magical.
But then one day we saw Frida, and I drank too much tequila, and I spent the night at his house. Well, until the girlfriend pulled the covers off of me and went, something, 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 you little slut. And I had to leave. And then at the time, we didn't have Google, so I had to ask for directions on how to get home. Well, anyway, the next day I called him, and I asked him, you know, he picked up the phone, and he said, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. I'm going to Griffith Park. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine. I'm just hanging out with my girlfriend. So I made up some songs, and the next day I sang him some songs at the intersection of Hillhurst and Los Feliz. The first one was, I hope you're having a good time in Tina. I hope you're having a good time in Tina, and Tina, and Tina. And then I sang him another one that said, this is the song that you'll hear when you're making love to Tina. Anyway.
That's a good
song. I could have done it a little bit.
Okay, 2 minutes. She got it. Two minutes and 2 seconds. It's a great time. Abby Schachner. Let her hear it, you guys.
Holy
come on.
Shit.
Melissa Peterman.
I didn't hear anything. I don't think you guys ever broke up. It doesn't sound... Did you break up officially or just meet him at other intersections and sing horrible songs to him?
Well, he actually did... I had another universal moment this quarantine. I said to the universe, I said, if I'm ever with the guy again, I want him to be circumcised. Within 24 hours, Olivia called me, one of the few uncircumcised guys I've been, with. So he wanted to hang out with me 20 years later. But I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
You're clutching that zucchini awfully hard, though, and that's... If that's your emotional support, zucchini, during this breakup story, I'd like to hear. I love it.
Oh,
first of all, what I gained from this is I think we live in the same neighborhood because you mentioned all the places that I'm real close to. I love Wacko. So how many years ago was this?
It was in
2003. Okay. Well, I'm just going to venture a guess. He's not with Tina. He missed out on you, yeah. Which is the real... he's probably regretting that forever and ever. I mean, you were musical. You gave him all the best. You saw Frida, all of these things. And I bet he's just home right now, just all alone going, you know, Abby! So I love this story. And I really enjoyed it. And I hope I see you in the neighborhood very soon because I think we live close to each other.
I don't live there anymore.
Oh, well, then
sucks.
I hated it.
I hate Tina. Danny Zucker.
I feel like we got to hear 5 stories in 2 minutes.
I mean,
this is to your credit, a normal story. When you say my dad tried to kill my mom with a hitman who was a cop and they walked, story's over. And you know, like, and so that you that was.
She threw it away.
She buried the lead.
That was the cold open to a much longer sitcom that had nothing to do with the plot. I mean, it was just, I mean, I know it played out, and then it's the whole thing. It was like I would love to actually study. I think you squoze, if that's a word, so many words into 2 minutes, and I was engaged in every single one. And then you ended with a musical number? What? Are you kidding me?
Abby Schachner!
It was like Westworld. It was all over.
Kaleidoscope.
I haven't felt this way since Starsky sat in that hospital bed.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, Peter Melman.
I think I missed the segue between Ohio and L.A.
Wow.
Yeah, the murder story starting off. See, she was setting up her psychological damage first before getting into the relationship.
It's smart.
That's backstory.
Exactly.
It's a horrendous backstory, but it's backstory. That is total backstory. Now, this relationship with the guy doesn't... If that was my worst breakup, I'd be the happiest person of all time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And by the way, I know him. He's dating Halle Berry now.
Abby Schachner. Abby Schachner, let her hear it. I loved it. I love that story.
Good job.
What's not to love? What's not to love? Her father.
I just want to know more about her parents.
I know. I know. That's a true story.
You can't recover from that, right?
Well, she's recovered. She looks great, don't you think?
I mean, the marriage can't recover. I mean, even if they stayed together. Like, remember when you hired a hitman? Oh, you didn't get the dry cleaning? Like, that's got to...
Oh, that's okay. Right. That's right. You bring that up all the time.
All the time you'd bring that up.
Yeah.
Got to take the trash out.
That's right. What am I wiping off? Can't decide. Anybody wipe? Okay. Zucchini.
Speaking of wiping.
And my hands are...
Charmy. Don't, what is it? Charmian.
Charminia.
Charminia.
Are we there?
Charminia.
No.
Is that like a sexually transmitted disease?
It might be.
Could be.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh my God. Speaking of chlamydia, coming up right now to tell us true two-minute story is the one and only Cindy Stout.
Get up here.
All right, you guys, anything could happen here. Cindy.
Anything could happen. Cindy's taking the long way up to the stage.
She's hugging the pole. All right, let's tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Yeah, the one behind you.
It's like that walk was like for best, like in the Oscars, when it's best foreign language short animated subject, and they have to walk from the back of the room to the top. It was a...
Oh, nice and simple. Vacation. Nice and simple.
Oh, here we go. We believe in you.
Give me... Come on. All right. I went on vacation. This is... I've grown up brunette my whole life. I know. Look, this is very blonde. Very blonde. But the roots have taken in, okay? So, on this particular vacation, I grew up. And I'm with my aunt, my uncle, my cousins. We're out there, and oh my God, this is so painful. All right, so the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. No, you got this.
Come on, you got it.
We believe in you. Go.
This is really bad.
Tell us about the Rocky Mountains.
All right. The falls is ticking. Oh my God, I cannot do this. So,
what happened in the Rocky Mountains?
You got it.
You got it. The Rocky Mountains. This is going to be pain. Yeah, you got it.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm sorry. So anyway, yep. Oh my God. Charlie, don't do this.
Did your father try to kill your mother?
Yes. So awful. So my mom got killed, but my father, he cut her in half. He thought she was Lady Dahlia from L.A.
He thought she was a Black Dahlia?
Yeah, it's a very pent-up frustration. It's about L.A., Lady Dahlia, and cut her body in half. It's awful, and I'm sorry.
Right. No, you're right, right there. Cindy.
It's so bad.
Cindy Stout.
No, this is hard to do.
Cindy Stout. Come on, Danny. Let's
Cindy,
hear it.
That's hard to do.
No, Cindy.
We give you a lot of credit. No, she wants to retreat, but that was a good job, Cindy.
Cindy, I'm going to tell you right now, that would have been one of my favorite toasts at any wedding I'd ever been to.
For sure. That would be a good toast.
I've seen that toast, haven't you? Like,
oh, yeah.
I used to be a brunette. And then my mom, and we went to Rocky Mountain. And you know what? There's one reason. Your love and you together. And I never thought, I mean, you guys, I'm so bad at this. And then I was going to, when I look at you two, and when you just look at each other, just take care of each other, because my mom, when we were there, and you can dye your hair, but you can't change everything. And so just to you guys, I love you.
Yeah, Melissa Peterman!
Cindy, that rocked.
That was...
Peter Melman.
That was the most hysterical thing I've ever seen up close.
Peter!
That story didn't go where I thought it was going.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was going to be like a Grand Canyon story.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you know, I went to the Grand Canyon once, and I was like sitting on the edge, staring at that vast expanse.
Sure.
And you know, like billions of years, and I had this epiphany that my problems are so much more important than everyone else's.
Well, I think you're right.
But now I know that my problems are, well, they pale next to Cindy.
Yeah, they pale next to the Rocky Mountains. That's the thing with the mountains. That's the thing with the mountains. All right, one more time for Cindy Stout. Let her hear it.
Way to go, Cindy.
Yeah, come on, give her some applause. This is not an easy game. There's nothing easy about this. I get it.
No.
All right, you guys, come to the stage right now to tell a true two-minute story is the one and only Charlie Daniels.
Charlie!
All right, you guys, let's tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel. That wheel.
Come on, all the way around.
Oh!
Your mother!
Free. Hey, did you land on free before?
I did.
Then you gotta spin again.
Oh, wow.
Let's tell him what to do. Spin that wheel again. He's trying to cheat. Did you see that, you guys? You heard what I said.
He spun it.
Mom.
What is it?
It landed on fucking mom.
Oh.
Your mother.
Your mother.
All right. And, All right. Before I start, yeah, Cindy's also transitioning from drunk to comatose, it seems like. So, but I will admit, that's my sister. Cindy's my sister. Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they had a pre-party before coming to see their brother.
I love it.
All right, mom. Well, one time my mother, she sent me a gift when I was in college. And what else would a great college kid need in a dorm? But she sent me three hamsters. And it was three hamsters. And ironically, their names were Starsky, Hutch, and Hervé.
No.
Yes, yes. But I thought it was a great idea. And I was a nursing major. And so another great decision I made when I was in college. Only three semesters as a nursing major. I changed it. So I had these hamsters, and I thought it was cruel. The very first night I had them, I thought it was cruel to keep them in the cage. This is a true story. Just want to know. So who, what, and when, where was all there, Peter, just so you know.
Okay.
So I thought it was cruel to keep them in a cage. So the very first night I had them, I thought, when I'm sleeping, I'm going to put them, just let them roam around the room. And it was a brand new dorm room. The only crack was under the door into the hallway. So I stuffed some towels in there, and then I hid that with some laundry, and I went to bed. I let them roam around. You know, how humane of me. And so I wake up in the morning to get ready to go to the hospital. I was a nursing student. Did I mention I was a nursing student? And I can't find them. And I moved the laundry from the towels, and all three of them were digging at the towel. They had been digging all night long, and they were millimeters from breaking free from the door. And I turned the light on, and they all three turned around. I'd never seen a surprised look on a hamster, but all three of them looked so pissed and surprised. I think they flipped me off, and I stopped them from escaping the room, and I put them into back in the cage.
All right, Charlie Daniel.
Wow.
Charlie Daniel.
Oh,
again, as a reminder, the topic was mom. I'm just throwing
mom.
That out there.
Mom gave me the
yeah, no, I mean, I like the way you pulled it around. I think there's a famous gerbil in history that I think was surprised at one point. Maybe just Google that. I bet he had a look of surprise. Or, like, just what the fuck happened, kind of a gerbil 128 hours, I guess, up there.
Yeah.
Anyway, totally apocryphal. Yeah, you took a mom story, you turned it into like the gerbil Great Escape. I liked it. I've tried to free. I sympathize with all that. I like my daughter just graduated as a nurse. She's the real hero. Yes.
Your daughter?
My daughter's
working. Cool.
Yeah, she graduated a year ago and nursing right in the pandemic.
Frontline worker. That's
great.
Yeah,
she's fucking crazy. What a stupid move. But yeah, so anyway, I don't know. I'm running out of steam, but that was amazing.
Thank you.
All right, Melissa.
Charlie, not since the Shawshank Redemption. Have I heard a story of tenacious will to escape? And
so beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was truly, truly beautiful. And I just wish like there was a little poster that the hamsters had over like the hole of like Jessica Rabbit or something. They were just tunneling away and they're like, fuck, he's a nursing major. He's up so early. As somebody who had hamsters as a young child, as my father says, when we moved, there was like 14 hamster carcasses strewn about the house because they all escape. They all escape eventually, even if you have the greatest of intentions. Again, the subject was your mom, and I have questions about why she thought that was an appropriate gift for a college student, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And in my head, they tunneled away to freedom and met at a beach, and they all lived happily ever after. So there you go.
That's a good story. Peter Melman.
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I agree that, you know, the transition from mom to hamster was so fast.
Genius is the word you're looking
genius.
For.
I mean, doing it without a segue at all, that was... but, you know, it is kind of weird the how what mothers will send to you in college. So I did kind of relate to that. Once for my birthday during college, my mother sent me a check for $30. And then 2 months later, I got mononucleosis, and she sent me $75.
Ooh, wow. Well, that's
I
up.
Mean, I was thinking, like, what can I get next? I could make it get, you know, $1,000 for... You know,
easily.
Hepatitis. Yeah.
But what about chlamydia or the charmitosis?
Charmitia is worth at least $1,000.
Charmitosis?
Don't squeeze the charmitia.
Charmitia.
Okay, well, that's
okay, it. Great. Charlie right. Daniel. Let him hear it, Charlie Daniel. I appreciate that nobody used a Charlie Daniel joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody talked about the devil went down to Georgia.
He's heard it all before.
Yeah, why bother?
Not going to do it.
Now, this is the exciting part of the game where our expert judges are going to take two of these names and they're going to put them back into the Story Smash can of truth. And at that time, two people are going to be in that can. So it's very exciting. Let's put a minute on the clock. Oh, it's already going. So, yeah, take your time. Hey, you guys, give a big round of applause to Willie in the back. Willie, thank you. And Brian at the bar. Thank you, Brian. Lindsay at the box office. I love Lindsay. Love Lindsay. She's out there. It takes a village to make all this happen, you guys. Jim Coughlin right in the front. Thank you, Jim Coughlin. Come on. Give it up for Jim Coughlin. Ah. And a big thank you to all of the storytellers who have played tonight so far. Well, that are going to play tonight at all. Charlie Daniel, Abby Schachner, Cindy Stout, and Aaron Moore. Those four are all superstars right out of the gate. So thank you, everybody, for playing.
Bravo.
And now it's been only 45 seconds, but it looks like the names are in the can. Melissa, how do you feel about this?
Well, it was a hard one because I really wanted to hear another story from everybody. But we made an executive decision here. So
I just wanted to say I disagreed with these decisions. And I was like, I think they did a really good job. And then Melissa was like, fuck you, Danny. That person blew. And I was like, hey, that's not cool. And she's like, eat my... And it just got ugly.
Yeah,
got
that ugly. Is ugly.
It yeah,
all,
and
that
I...
That was all true. That was all true. No.
By the way, did you know that the winner tonight wins my famous chocolate chip cookies? Yeah.
And
no, this one. They get this one.
Cookie? I feel like they want this one.
No, that's for you to make.
Oh, it is?
That's
oh, my God.
You, that's for you. And
cookies and Zook.
Cookies.
Oh my God. That was the name of my album.
I'm going to be able to drive in the carpool lane with this son of a bitch.
I'd like to hear a speech for each of you as you hold it up. You know, at some point, that'd be great. All right, you guys. Go ahead, Melissa. Let's pull out the first person who's playing in the third round to tell us a true 3-minute story. Who's playing?
Number one, we've got Abby coming back
Abby
on.
Abby Schachner! Let's have it! Yeah. Abby.
Abby.
Abby Schachner. Come on, Abby. There she comes. Here she comes now. Yes, you come now. Let's tell her what to do, guys.
Spin that wheel.
That's a good spin.
Wow, that is a healthy spin you got. I do too. I really fought for you on this one.
Pets.
I know, but you gotta choose an idea.
Pets.
Pets. I have a pet. I have a pit bull that I adopted, and I have a Roomba that I was a stray. I found it in North Hollywood. It was sucking chicken bones and glass, and now it's at home with me. I had a French bulldog years ago, and I loved my French bulldog, but my French bulldog made best friends with my friend Laura. And Laura would come to my house like for parties. She wouldn't really socialize. She's a very nice person, wouldn't socialize as much with people. She'd hang out with the dog, and my dog loved her so much. Like, she came to this party one time. The dog vomited his, like, full size of, you know, like the vomit was his body size.
Oh, God.
They had so much fun together. And that was an interesting party because I made weed brownies, and some of my friends, like, who never smoke weed or eat weed, they left without being able to talk. But Laura had this relationship, like I did some yoga trainings and Laura would hang out with my dog Milo and they'd go on fun adventures, like go to the dog park and the dog beach and all that stuff. But over the years, towards the end of his life, I moved in with a boyfriend in a home that had a lot of stairs and Milo was having a hard time. He was aging. And then I broke up with the boyfriend and I moved to a studio apartment where the dog couldn't really stand on the floor. Like, his legs would split and it was really painful to watch my dog. He was turning gray and he couldn't stand on the floor anymore. And I had to stroll him and he would pee down the stairs in the front of the building and they had to knock on my door and tell me I had to carry him out, and it was really terrible. And I had a rearranging problem in the studio apartment. It was about as big as a stage, and for 17 hours a day, because I had moved out of a lovely home in Lake Hollywood, I would rearrange my furniture for 17 hours and my dog would just look at me, and it was just terrible. He was aging, all this stuff. So I called my friend Laura and I told her I needed to put the dog to sleep, and she said, "No! Don't put him to sleep!" She was going to Costa Rica to live for a while, and she didn't want me to put the dog to sleep before, you know, she wanted me to let him live for a while. And when I did eventually put the dog to sleep, I was going to include Laura, but I decided I couldn't bring Laura to the vet when I put him asleep because I was afraid that Milo, my dog, was going to, like, look her in the eyes and then, like, put his paw on her hand, you know, on her, and then, like, pass away looking at her. So I didn't include her, and I made it just my own thing. And I still have Milo's ashes, and I love him very much. I've never done anything with it, but maybe a fun thing for me and Laura to do would be to go to, like, maybe Griffith Park where Hervé was, or the dog park, and sprinkle those ashes, or maybe at the coffee shop we used to go to. But I just could not include my friend Laura in the death of my dog Milo because I loved him. And yeah.
Abby Schachner, Abby. Oh my God. That was such a great story. She landed exactly on 2 minutes and 59 seconds. There was a light smash, but not a lot.
Thank you, Will.
Melissa Peterman.
Forget Marley and me. I want to hear Milo and me. I love dogs. I had three. We lost Janet a couple years ago, and it's a hard thing to put a dog when it's time to go. And a lot, you know, again, death does bring out a lot of emotions. Some of them just jealousy. You're like, I don't want Milo surrounded by too much love, just my love. I get that. I would feel the same way. I think you should maybe sprinkle Milo in Waco or E-Rustic Inn, all of those places. I love this story. And do you have another dog now?
I have Giant, a pit bull.
You have another pit bull. Well, I'm all for rescuing dogs. And this story just rescued me, Abby. It really did. It rescued me. So well done. I loved it very much.
All right, Danny Zucker.
It really hit me. We recently, you know, we had to put down a dog. She was fine. We didn't like her. just was like, you know, it was a pain. Yeah, it was a sad story. I mean, there weren't a lot, you know, it was like sort of, I think Schindler's List had slightly more laughs there at the end than that particular story. Wasn't where you were going with it. But look, I felt your pain, and I guess, I'm feeling something. You know, and that's...
You never do.
Which I'm dead inside.
Yeah, you're dead inside. You're usually numb.
I felt sadness at your... The only two times I felt tonight are sadness at your story and utter terror at whatever Cindy was going to say. So thank you for that.
Peter Melman.
You know, I totally sympathize with your the loss of that cute little French bulldog. Losing a dog is actually... It's worse than losing a family member because, you know, you don't have any mixed feelings about your dog. by the way, to your point about rescues, I have a dog, and somebody said to me, some woman is playing with my dog, and she says, "Oh, God, he's so cute. Did you adopt him?" And I said, "No, he's my biological dog." I mean, the nerve of these people asking these questions. You know what I really like? There's physicality to Abby.
Yes, sure. Yes,
very much
for
so.
For sure.
Yeah.
We're watching
she's
it.
She's moving now.
Look at it. Like she's marking her territory.
She does physical.
She's skating.
It wasn't comedy, but it was physical. And I really admire that, considering the fact the stage is like, you know, 3 inches. Yeah. So great story, gripping, and
Abby Schachner, let her hear it.
Good job, Abby.
Yeah, Abby Schachner. And there, you know, she goes.
And Laura was all like, "Don't put the dog down. I'm going to Costa Rica." Like, it wasn't like she was going to stay.
Fuck Laura.
Yeah.
That story.
You don't get to be in that final moment if you're off in Costa Rica.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
The great thing about a dog is having something around the house that's aging even faster than you are. I love that.
Seven times faster, as I understand. All right, you guys, there's one more contestant playing the game tonight, and that's going to wrap up Story Smash for the September edition. I just heard the good news. We're back October 23rd.
No.
What? Yeah, we're back October 23rd. And, in fact, this show that you're hearing right now will be on the Story Worthy podcast in just a couple of weeks. So please listen to Story Worthy. It'll be waiting for you. If you follow me, it'll be waiting for you. You know what I mean? It's all free. Of course it's free. You can't charge money to be a comedian.
No.
Obviously. All right, you guys. Melissa Peterman, who's the final contestant coming up tonight?
Tell a
3-minute story.
Erin Moore.
Let her hear it. All right, you guys. Let's tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
There she goes. It's a good spin. Thanks. Audience, my gosh, this is exciting.
Holy shit, just got real.
That shit got real. What topic would you like to hear Erin speak about? Anything over here?
Music.
Anything in here?
Being scammed.
I'm sorry?
Being scammed.
Being scammed. Okay, that's interesting.
Being fired.
Oh, that's good.
Being scammed?
Heartbreak.
First love. What? Aviation. There's a clown in the audience,
yeah,
Danny.
No, aviation.
There's
sure.
a clown right there.
Yeah. Accountancy.
Does anything sound interesting so far?
A lot of them.
Well, yeah. Is there one that appeals? Because it's the final round. Is there one that you liked of that group? Aviation.
There were just so many good ones. I'm
heartbreak,
not remembering.
Heartbreak.
First love.
Aviation.
Aviation.
Aviation. Fired.
First fired. Love. Fired.
Tequila.
Okay. Oh, okay. I guess I could do.
Fired.
Let her hear it, you
fire
guys.
Away.
Erin Moore, fired.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. I've gotten fired a few times, but I also had the pleasure of firing several. I don't know, 20, 30 people in a job I had working during the holidays, which is really pleasant. I worked for a temp agency who was staffing at Amazon.com, you know, because they have the biggest hearts for all their employees. And it was basically my job. I was a liaison, so to speak, between Amazon and the temp agency. Hired heavy, I think, actually, is what my title was, because I didn't do much except fire people. I sat around and occasionally sat down and talked with employees and gave them pep talks. But really, the job I had was shit-canning people. And I got kind of a... One time I had to fire this one young woman. This was the first time I had to fire anybody. We walked into a conference room, and I'm like, you know, well, you know, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go, you know, get your stuff, blah, blah, blah. And she's like crying, and I'm like, well, you know, you kind of knew this was coming. I mean, you've gotten feedback before. No, I didn't. I'm like, well, somebody sat you down and told you you were doing poorly and you had a chance to improve yourself. No, I didn't. I had to fire her anyway. I couldn't let her continue working there, but I did find out, I got chummy with some of the Amazon people, and I found out that I got kind of a reputation as like the angel of death around there. You know, one of the trainers of the program overheard a couple of the young recruits talking to each other, and they're like, one said to the other, "I hate that guy. Whenever he comes around, people disappear." Anyway, I could draw it out, but I'm not going to. That's the end of the story. Thank you.
Aaron Moore. Okay, stay with us. Now, that's 2 minutes and 37 seconds. She had a little more time. She didn't choose to use it. Peter Melman.
As someone who's never, you know, really had a job, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fascinated by having the opportunity to fire people and... you know, you were in an interesting position there. I like that story. It's kind of like one of those between the lines stories.
You know?
It doesn't really fit any genre exactly.
It's cross genre.
Kind of like up in the air, you know. you know, with the firing. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time watching TV lately. Yeah, I kind of like that story. Thank you.
Thank you,
Danny Zucker.
Yeah, I have had to fire. You never had to fire somebody on a show?
Well, I just didn't pick them up.
Oh, I had to fire. No, I stressed out. The first person I was going to fire was like a casting person. I was like, oh, it's just not working. It's there. And I was like, how am I going to do this? And I was up all, I didn't sleep at all the night before. I couldn't do it. And then like we had a casting session and she was just like, whatever, there was something, she just said something so nasty. She was basically like, how you doing? And she's like, I can't talk right now. And I was just like, because I was stressing, how am I going to fire her? And like, we're in the elevator and she's like, so how's it going? She's like, I really can't talk right now. And I said, oh, cool, you're fired. And it was so easy. It was like
that
a gift
easy.
From God.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was really happy about that.
Yeah. No,
but a good story. I got to take points off for being like 30 seconds off. Yeah. I know. But you're an interesting, I mean, look, you're a good storyteller, obviously. So bravo.
Thank you.
Melissa Peterman.
Aaron, I want you to have a podcast, first of all, because your voice is so...
Soothing,
and like you were telling really short stories, and you never feel or sound rushed, and you had more time, which I think is a wonderful quality. That's a great gift. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Minnesota. The idea of firing somebody, I could never do it. We would stress about it. We'd be like, I mean, we just say, oh God, I don't know. It's well, you know, I just, well, for everything, yeah, well, you know, it's all that. And then we get drunk at Thanksgiving and go, you never worked out. That's what we do. We just repress it, stuff it, and let it out. Yeah. I have a quick question, though, because I think that you got this reputation. Was there a tiny part of you that liked it?
Yeah, I was a little delighted by a little that bit. Story.
A little bit.
Power rush.
Yeah, I have to take off times because I wanted to hear more. But I think you need to expound on that little. I think there's a little seed in everyone's personality that we all don't want to talk about. That is like kind of that dark thing where part of you kind of liked being the angel of death. Like in my head, flash forward to like a year later, and you start wearing. You just change like your whole look. You're all in black with like this giant collar, and like you walk in. You make them sit in a beanbag chair so they're real low and uncomfortable. And, like, you really just embrace the firing. You know what I mean? You only offer one thing, and it's really just lukewarm tea. You know, you make it uncomfortable. So
yeah.
That's where I went. And I think in the next 30 seconds, that's where you would have went, too. So I enjoyed it, Aaron. Well done.
Aaron Moore, holy cow. Well. We find ourselves at the end of another game of Story Smash. What a great time. Let's put a minute on the clock, and then our fine judges are going to put a name of the winner in the bucket, and then that's the person who wins the game and receives a quality zucchini and my homemade chocolate chip cookies. I know. What do you want, ma'am? What do you want? What can I give you? You want a cat? I got several cats. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back here on October 23rd. You can get your tickets right now from Lindsay in the front. And we're going to be in the bar after the show, hanging out right across the way there. So come on over to the bar. And another big round of applause to Willie in the back. Willie, thank you so much, man. This is Willie's first time on the sound, and I think you did a great job. Let's hear the smash again. Come on, Willie. See, he knows what he's doing. Some of the smashes are weaker and some are stronger, but it doesn't matter. Big round of applause to Brian at the bar. Brian, thank you for putting up with us, hanging out with us, playing the game. Lindsay in the front, great girl. Say goodbye to Lindsay on your way out or on your way to the bar. And again, we're going to be back here October 23rd, and this show will be on the Story Worthy podcast in just about a week or two. All right, you guys. So now this is a difficult decision. Really? How do you feel, Peter? Tell me how you feel. Peter?
Microphone?
Again, Danny was the odd man out.
Yeah, this is a hard one. Sorry.
The use of the expletives.
I mean, so
seemed,
much language.
I didn't like that it got so racial, frankly. But,
yeah.
Ugly.
Melissa, any thoughts? Final thoughts?
This was hard. I would have to say, because we enjoyed them both so much for two very different reasons, like very different styles.
Yeah.
But really enjoyable all the way through. So,
yeah,
this one was hard.
This is truly one of the hardest ones we've ever had.
One of the hardest
ones ever.
Danny, you've done like 35 of these shows, man.
Yeah, and I just say that every time. Usually,
I know you do. That's what I was
saying. Honestly, it was
at.
Really easy. No, this was really, truly hard. They were both so different. It was very, very tricky, right. But I think you'll like the choice.
Okay, well, we're gonna call the name of the person up. They're gonna come to the stage. We're all gonna grab our zucchini for a great picture. And then we're all going to be in the bar. All right? Yeah. Does that sound good, everybody? Are you happy? Are you happy?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, you guys. Tonight, the winner of Story Smash September 2021, Melissa Biederman, is...
No, you got to look. Read it.
Oh, my Lord.
I hit myself with a...
You read it.
Is there a tie? Cindy, get the fuck out.
I worked it. We wanted to give Cindy.
No, here you go.
They said, it said Cindy. Cindy, I love you. Fuck these guys. Okay, the real name.
We wanted to give Cindy a shout out.
Big round of applause for the one and only. I can't do it. Aaron Moore! Come on up, Aaron Moore! You are the winner of Story Smash. Enjoy your zucchini and your thing. Big round of applause, you guys. Danny Flippin' Zucker, Melissa Biederman, and Peter Flippin' Melman. Come on, you guys, give it up. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night.